And then when the Holy Spirit give you revelation, insight, knowledge, counsel, wisdom, it's easily received. When that happens for you, your ability to continue to be willing and obedient increases. So while you're steadily making better and better decisions instead of making false steps. So what's going to happen to your work ethic? What's going to happen to your work life? What's going to happen to the way you manage time? What's going to happen to your relationships? People are going to have, you're going to earn rapport with people. People are going to be able to trust you. What's going to happen if you're anointed? The anointing is always increasable. If you continue to faithful to it and with it, it will increase. So everything about you is continually being refined and multiplied. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Then he said, replenish the earth. Go up. Jesus went about doing good as a way of life, not just to draw a crowd. He did this continually. He helped people as people didn't even know it. That was his way. You know, the few people that are written down, that's just a synopsis of what he actually did. You got to understand, he went about doing good 365 days a week. He knew how to live. So your ability to live a fruitful life increases, especially as you replenish. See, when you give to others, when you help others see, they come to life. Spiritual wealth forms on your life, because everybody that they win to the Lord is going to reward you. I used to sell Amway products for a moment. I used to like the business. It gave me hope that I could make more money and all. But I learned the principles, read the books, watched the tapes, and went to the meetings for a season. And I kind of got into it. But then I said, well, I don't really want to be a grocer. I work at a grocery store already, and I don't really want to handle grocery products for the rest of my life. I said, I really want to do mechanic work. So what I was learning in Amway, I applied it where I could in my own business, and it helped. I stopped sending Amway, but the principles work. See, they used to teach us, everybody you know, don't try to sell them products. Get them to come to the meeting. Invite them to the meeting. They explained it this way. You don't know who's going to get excited. Oh, it was so cool. If they get excited, they're going to tell people. And whoever they get, if they come in under you and they sell so many products, you're going to get a share for everything that they sell. And if they become a direct distributor and you're still in Amway, if they make money, you make money. And if you, whatever you sell, you know, the focus was not to sell products as much as it was to get people to come in the meeting. They said everybody that come, they'll either join and the enterprise, or they'll be a customer. And they said it's all right, whatever they want to do. But the products were really good products, and they were the first to have concentrated soap. So you could get 50 washes of out of a very small box of washing powder compared to a big old box of Tide. Well, a friend of mine put a cup of Amway, of SA8 in the washing machine. Soap was all over the place because it was super concentrated. They did have good products, and they sold other things that people buy. And it worked. And it worked real good. And then the companies caught on and they started selling concentrated products. But nevertheless, I brought that up for this reason. Tell everybody about Jesus. They got it from the gospel. Amway was, They copied the way the gospel is supposed to work. Tell everybody about Jesus. You don't know who's going to get excited. And if they get excited, the Lord's going to work in their life. It's the same principle. And the way that it's financed is so perfect. It mirrors what God does in our lives. Everybody you win to the Lord, God's going to reward you for all that they do for the rest of their life, because you were instrumental in helping them see the Lord. Now, that's just one person. I went to a funeral of a young girl that died. She was a young mother, but she loved God, and she had given her life to the Lord, and so many people came to her funeral, and then they got saved at her funeral. One person can make a huge difference if they live the life of God. Now, what if you continually live according to the wisdom of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God? It mounts up on your life. It gets better and better. This is possible. See, this is so easy. Especially if you're the kind that will learn from the Lord. Some people don't like learning from the Lord. And the reason I put it that way is because their focus won't let them learn from the Lord. They just don't comprehend the same. I don't know why. People are varied and they're different. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have the love of God in you, you will start learning. But if you're focused on the negative, and if you're focused on problems, it's so difficult to learn from the Lord. When the Lord teaches you, you'll second guess it. You'll go back and forth. You live a life without rest. But when you have the love of God in you, that makes... I've watched the people that have the greatest conversation. They share the love of God. They have true compassion. I was watching Sid Roth. A man said, compassion is a combination of love and hate together. Now, not in the opposite sense, but they're working together. You love a person to the point that you hate their demise. You love the person and you hate what's holding them back. You love a person and you hate what cripples them. You love a person and you hate the fact that their body is in bad shape, weak, full of cancer, to the point that you act. See, love that don't act is not compassion. Or, I'll put it this way, love that don't act is not charity. See, the love chapter is really charity. Love is a verb, just like faith. So you can believe all day, but when you act, it's life. Until you act, it's not life. It's dormant. It's dead. When you have charity in you, you see a problem and you evaluate it, seek the Lord about how you're going to kill the problem. Because you love the person, the victim, and you hate the destruction to the point that you do something about it. So when you have the life of God in you, Jesus walking down the street, here's a funeral procession. An older widow is crying over her only son. She's not going to have a line on earth. She's not going to have future children anymore. Her line is cut off, being carried on a bier, which is a coffin type thing. I don't know what they look like, but he's laid up on the bier, and they're burying his bones, his body, finna go and put him in his tomb. And Jesus come and touch him and bring him back to life. Why? Because he had compassion. And he had the power to do it. And guess what? So do we. You mean we can go around raising the dead at the will, at the guidance of God? Yes. When people die in a hospital, you can pray the prayer of faith and bring them back. You can prevent people from dying. Yes, you can. you can have compassion and do these things. The Lord, I've been instrumental in sustaining people's lives and helping people live and helping people understand. The Lord will give me what to do, how to pray, have me pray in the Holy Spirit so he can save life. And so can anybody. But the people that refuse to live according to the love of God, they have the hardest time doing everything I just mentioned. But people who embrace the love of God with the intent to fulfill it, they are the ones that bring things to life. They are the ones who are instrumental. They draw near to the Lord used them to be a blessing. And over time, it mounts up so much. See, with God, everything multiplies. And as you're faithful with knowledge, he's going to give you more of it. When he can count on you, he's going to give you assignments. I had a vision once that was a stack of papers on Jesus' desk. And I saw him take his hand, and this is the sound that it made. His pinky would hit, then the next finger, then the next, then the next, then the thumb. He was waiting. He was doing that, waiting for opportunity to give out those assignments, and they were stacked high. It was like having two phone books of assignments. Each paper was an assignment, and he wanted to give it out throughout the earth. He wanted to give people books, writings, songs, assignments. But sometimes there's nobody to stand in the gap. Nobody that will take it on. Nobody that had the love to do that. And he was sitting there waiting for opportunities for people to open their hearts and receive from him. And that's a shame. After all that he did for us, we need to have that kind of compassion again. And then people want a revival. Yes, I do too. I'm one of them. But God did something. He put something in motion. He started a revival years ago. But this revival is not obvious. I had a dream 2 weeks ago that, and I talked about it on another broadcast, but anyway, I was at a church service, and it was a big church full of people, and they were all sitting there waiting, and there were no seats, and I found a seat toward the front even, and you could see the stage real good. And near where I was sitting was a girl I went to high school with. And when I looked at her, she said, "We're waiting on a man to walk out on that stage and start a revival." And I said, "Well, the revival of God is not going to start with a man walking on that stage. This revival has started with individuals." She said, "Oh." And she got up out of her seat and began to walk out. And I walked with her. I said, "Because as we draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to us. This revival will be done with individuals that draw near to the Lord." And then our conversation ended and I woke up. She had compassion. She really wanted this. And I believe that girl really wants a revival. But she was very receptive. It didn't take long for her to agree with what God said. She said, "Oh." And she was sure of what I was saying and got up to go and draw near to the Lord. So this is the thing. See, God, he honors faith. And people of faith can see what others do not. People that have the love of God in them can see what others do not. You have to understand the living life of God. You have to, if you noticed, If you watch, people that have love they do these things. This is their way of life, not just something to get a blessing out of God. So many people have been groomed to seek God for blessings, and they bait people with all kind of blessings that's going to happen. Your season's going to come. Your season is already here. Are you doing what God gave you to do? If you are doing what God wants you to do, if you're obedient to the things that he say, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. It mounts up on your life. It's not automatic, but it happens. It happens because you're sowing. You're continually sowing good. And the reaping process will begin to overtake you. It's not because you send in $1,000. It's because you go about doing good wherever you are, using the gifts of the Spirit wherever you can, living the love of God every day. All of the relationships that's around you, you have a fruitful attitude. You have a loving attitude of compassion. You hear people out. You call people back. I got friends that don't meet a stranger. They can talk to anybody. They can break the ice. I've always had a hard time doing that. And I like being around people that do that. Because I always wanted to be that guy, but I'm not. I'm a quiet man. I'm more of an observer. So I didn't always like the fact that I was an observer. But I'm more of an observer than a talker or a communicator. But the Lord has opened this broadcast for me to share things that I learned from him as I watched him. And I monitor the Holy Spirit. I pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Because if you do, you're going to learn facts that people need. Your whole life will be full of healing. It's easy. And then you won't let the enemy win. Remember, you have compassion. You love and you hate. You love the ways of God and you hate the darkness of Satan and what it causes, to the point that you do something about it. And things don't have to be convenient for you when you love God, because you're in it for the long haul. When I watch war movies, they lay their life down to take a bridge. They don't let the enemy tear up a bridge. They hold it to their reinforcements come so that the war can be won. They know that they might not live trying to protect that bridge. That was a movie called A Bridge Too Far. Now some people, they're in it for the fish and the loaves, the blessings and the goodness. And they don't really, they'll leave that bridge and let it get exploded before they risk having a scrape on their face. I mean, they're just not going to, they don't want a hair on their head to be touched. But see, when you're in it, when you have compassion, you're not afraid for your life. You're going to do something with your life. You're going to put yourself in harm's way if you have to. You're going to do the hard grunt work when it's necessary, without complaining. And it's possible. I watched my daddy work a man's job. He had to take a shower at work. He couldn't come home dirty. And he would take a shower before he come home every day. When he come home, he was clean. And he was tired. Then on the weekend, he'd drive an hour away to Utah, Alabama, spend the weekend, he'll preach, and be right back at work Monday morning. Now watch this. I never heard him complain, not once, and I lived in this house all my life. And my mother was right there with him. Sometimes on Saturday morning, she'd go to the Cokesbury bookstore and buy the supplies for the Sunday school. And she'd buy some books and colors, whatever we wanted. We were very young. She never complained either. Not even when they were on the phone. They did that work with joy. They did it with joy. And together they paid for 3 churches. You know, their guidance and leadership. And they were big church. They were pretty good sized churches. I thank God for that, for seeing that. Never complain. Then you got people that they moan when they get up to preach. They want to do something else. When it's time to pray, it's like stacking bricks. No, the love of God makes the difference. Consider these things. See, the way of God is a living way. It's alive. And there's nothing you can't do. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Remember, till next time, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Love the living way of God. Because he has so much to say. And so do you in him.